Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Insurance has battled a legacy perception of being male dominated. Is it changing? Are we seeing progress? I absolutely think that we are. And I think that there's a big commitment to help foster that change and promote more diverse and inclusive workforces in the insurance industry.
It's critical to focus on both diversity and inclusion, but the inclusion part is to keep and retain the talent that we're seeing and developing.
We're sitting on the precipice of this phenomenal digital transformation, and digital really enables us to give more accessibility and more transparency to populations everywhere. And so whether it be talent acquisition, whether it be learning and development, whether it be performance management, compensation, to say, where are the places, even though we've been very well intended to this point, where it's not having the impact that we needed to have across all levels of dimensions and diversity.
Hello, and welcome to our program, Best Practices for Building a Diverse and Inclusive Insurance Workforce. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV. As workplaces and organizations come under increased scrutiny, some insurers have taken the lead in developing heterogeneous workforces. Building a rich, multi-background workforce takes creativity, hustle, and commitment. Our panel of industry experts will examine best practices for building a diverse and inclusive insurance workforce, and we'll examine real-world strategies and tactics for building the insurance workplace that embraces today's rapidly changing workforce. Our panel today includes Laura Boylan, Senior Vice President of Human Resources at Philadelphia Insurance Companies, Kisa Edwards, who oversees the enterprise implementation of diversity and inclusion initiatives for Farmers Insurance, and Vicky Walia, who is the Chief Talent and Capability Officer at Prudential Financial. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us. We're going to kick off our discussion today with Laura. Laura, how has the focus on diversity and inclusion in the workplace changed in the past several years?
Well, Lori, there's no question over the past few years that there's been a heightened focus on DEI as a business strategy. And I think in the past, where it was easy to say that DEI was important, I think that today it's about the tangible steps you're taking to embed DEI into the company. I also just think there's greater transparency and open communication around DEI topics. Generally, I think there's just more openness and discussion taking place, which is really important. And I think more than ever, it's now an expectation in the eyes of our employees, in the eyes of our customers, that companies are taking this seriously and taking steps to implement real change.
So what does diversity and inclusion look like at Philadelphia Insurance? And can you talk a bit about how you are enhancing diversity through corporate initiatives and community outreach?
Sure. I mean, I think like many companies, DEI has always been important at Philly and certainly a priority for us. And I think where over the last couple of years, we've really taken steps to be more deliberate in the steps that we're taking, understanding that in the past where we've had standalone DEI initiatives, that in order for us to really make some impactful change, we really needed a plan and to put a plan in place. And understanding that those plans with longer term goals may take some time and patience to see the change actually as a result of those plans, that we needed to kind of think about it in a two-prong approach. How can we take steps now so people see that we're taking action now and making some changes in the short term, and then also in our long-term, more strategic approach? So for our short-term approach, some of the things that we've really focused on, just building some foundational skills across the organization, really expanding on our diversity training courses that we deliver internally within the organization around conscious inclusion, inclusive leadership, allyship, a whole host of topics related to DEI. One of our other short-term approaches was we developed a partnership with Inroads, and in conjunction with our summer intern program, we were able to hire 10 Inroads interns to take part of that summer intern program. And that was a great success this past summer, and that was also done virtually. So I think a double success there. Another short-term approach we took was we introduced a new mentoring program that was really designed to pair up and coming underrepresented leaders with our senior leadership team to make sure that we were giving access to those relationships, visibility, and there was some reverse mentoring that was built into that program as well. And we've done a number of things in that regard. And then I would say for the longer term approach, we've really focused on incorporating a diversity council. And that is a representation of all business units across the organization, several dimensions of diversity. And their goal is really focused on coming up with our long-term goals in several key areas that we think is important for our organization to focus on. And one other component of that that I think is just incredibly important is by introducing this council, we've really taken the commitment to our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts to go across the organization instead of just kind of landing in HR as sometimes that default happens. So it's really expanded just our accountability, our commitment, and everyone in the organization is really getting involved. From a community involvement, I think just historically where Philly has done just as part of our culture, part of our history across the country and all of our offices, we have a strong commitment to our community partners. And most of those community partners are nonprofit organizations that really represent several different underrepresented groups. And we find unique or different ways to give back to those groups or help support them, partner with them. And even in this virtual environment, we've been able to continue to do that. And that's just an incredibly important part of our culture and something that we continue to focus on.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're doing a lot of exciting things. So just focusing in on the pandemic, what ways, if any, has COVID changed the way Philly is now building and fostering a diverse and inclusive workforce?
Yeah, well, I will say that, I mean, we were very fortunate in being able to pivot to an entire work from home environment and do that pretty seamlessly. So I think that was a good silver lining in all of this. And I would say that, one of the challenges initially was that with some of our plans that we had in place towards our diversity and inclusion efforts, really hit a pause button initially because we were just trying to determine how to pivot as we were just moving our whole operations virtually and remote. And I will say that we were fortunate to be successful in that pivot and really continue to expand a lot of our training courses related to diversity topics and convert those to all be delivered virtually and had great engagement and participation of our employee population across the board. Another piece was the diversity council that I mentioned. That all was done virtually, and the council is hard at work and been meeting monthly and in between formal meetings and developing our plans and three-year goals and actions to support those goals. So I think that in some ways, we've really pushed through some of those challenges. I will say one area that we're really taking a proactive approach towards is as we do return back to the office, I do think that there are some challenges that we need to just be aware of and think about how we can just make sure that we have plans in place to avoid these types of issues where when we have any sort of hybrid work environments. Right now we've been benefiting from the fact that everybody is remote, so everybody's accessing things the same way, whether that's meetings, resources, the communication points, everybody's participating in the same way. And when we go back into the office and have a little bit of a diverse arrangement of some hybrid, some remote, some in the office, really making sure that that doesn't impact our inclusion efforts, that it's harder to participate when you have a majority of people in one area and others that are kind of coming in differently. So we're really focused on building out resources that help support that transition back to the office and continue to support our inclusion goals as well.
Well, thanks so much, Laura. I want to bring in Kisa Edwards at Farmers at this time. Kisa, can you tell us about Farmers' history of diversity and inclusion efforts, including your network of employee resources groups, company-wide and leadership trainings, and inclusive benefits?
Thanks for that question, Lori, and thank you for inviting me here today to talk about this very important topic. Farmers Insurance has a longstanding commitment to diversity and inclusion, which serves as the foundation of our culture and has really helped guide our organization in its broader mission to make a difference in the communities where Farmers employees live and work. Farmers has been on a diversity and inclusion journey to live our values for years now. And one of Farmers' most important values is to respect the diversity and potential of every individual and empower employees to be their true selves at work. I have been with the company for 15 years, and I have been able to witness and take part in the evolution of our company cultural changes. You asked about our employee resource groups. For example, Farmers offers a pretty robust network of employee resource groups, which are employee-led and have helped the organization advance our commitments to fostering a dynamic work environment. Our ERGs also help support the business by working on recruitment initiatives, retention, career development, and more. We really like to tap into our ERG groups. There are currently 9 active Farmers ERGs across the country, including the Black Professionals Alliance, Disability Inclusion Group, Farmers Asian Alliance, Farmers Future, Farmers Pride, Parent Connect, SOMOS Farmers, which is our Hispanic Latino group, Veterans and Advocates, and Women's Inclusion Network, which was our first ERG that blazed the path for the following ones. And then in addition to our ERGs, we have 2 corporate initiative groups that help connect our employees with our wonderful benefit offerings that we have at Farmers. And so those groups are called our Farmers Fit and Mindfully Fit. And both groups do an excellent job supporting our employee base. And then in regards to our diversity and inclusion training, we also offer a variety of employee training programs that are designed to help employees and leaders identify strategies and practices for building a more inclusive workplace environment. Our participants have access to tools and resources to embrace their own uniqueness and identify ways to help others feel comfortable doing the same. And as far as our benefit offerings, that also supports Farmers' commitment to helping create an inclusive work environment where people can thrive. For example, Lori, we are very proud of our 10-week and 100% paid leave for parents to care for and bond with a new child, regardless of the parent's gender identity. And the policy extends to all eligible employees who become a parent following a birth, surrogacy, or non-family adoption. And then we also want to help our employees grow at Farmers. So we offer learning and educational benefits through our competitive tuition assistance program that can help offset a portion of college, a designation, or individual costs, course costs. And again, I have personally taken advantage of this benefit and appreciate that I work for an employer who provides this as an offering and invest in its employees. So these are just a couple of programs and initiatives that Farmers has built a strong foundation within our culture and our workplace around diversity and inclusion.
Oh, that's wonderful. So what actions has Farmers taken to accelerate your diversity and inclusion journey since last year's events, including the deaths of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor?
I'd like to share my perspective of the events and being an employee at Farmers Insurance and working through the summer of 2020 and how it affected me personally. I know that it impacted many people around the world. And then I'll tie it into what Farmers has done to really accelerate our progress in the D&I space. So at the time of George Floyd's death, I was leading one of our largest employee resource groups, which is the Black Professionals Alliance. And I remember coming into work the following day and being mentally shaken. And I don't want to speak for all Black professionals, but for me, it was very hard to cover the emotional impact his death was having on myself. And I knew that it was having on other Black professionals at Farmers. Many of us weren't sure if our managers were aware of what was going on or how it was impacting us. And Lori, at that time, race wasn't a common topic always talked about. And so we weren't quite sure how to bring up the topic to our leadership team. So I'm in this room sitting at my desk and I am drafting an email to our former CEO, Jeff Daly, and the BPA's executive sponsor. And I get stuck on how to explain and ask for their help to bring awareness of what's impacting our Black professionals. So I'm trying to write a sentence to explain that the cause of George Floyd's death left many people uncertain if a Black life is treated equal to others. And I don't want to offend either one of them. I'm desperately needing their allyship, their voice, their influence to help support and amplify the message that I was asking them permission to put out to our enterprise. And as I'm writing the email, Jeff calls me on the phone and is asking how he can help and how he can mobilize his leadership team to help the BPA. And at the same time, I'm seeing the email come through and for my executive sponsor reaching out for the same reason. And it was for that outreach that really released the anxiety that I had built up, because I didn't want to say the wrong thing when asking for help. And so that really allowed me to take a deep breath and refocus on what our next steps would be. So following that call, Jeff Daly and I, we shared a joint message and an open letter to farmers employees, starting an important dialogue around the issues of racism and committing farmers to standing up for what's right. And at Farmers, we have been on our D&I journey for a while, but the events in 2020 sparked a broader discussion and reflection on our D&I efforts, leading us to ask, what more can we be doing? So over the past 14 months, with the support from our leadership team and our ERGs, we have had regular dialogue within the organization where our employees can listen, learn, and feel empowered to take action. We've also developed enterprise-wide initiatives around talent diversity in our supplier relationships. We have our own enterprise diversity and inclusion council members that represent different lines of business across the organization to make sure that the message is being reinforced. And we've also increased our engagement in the community by establishing relationships to help nonprofits like the Los Angeles Urban League and organizations like Women Back to Work. But overall, we have accelerated our D&I efforts for the better, and I couldn't be more proud of the work that we've put in. We know that we have more work to do, but we're doing this by pushing ourselves out of our comfort zones and having a bias towards taking action so that we can really create change at Farmers.
So how are those growing conversations about issues related to racism and inequality, how are they transforming workplace culture today?
It's been a huge cultural shift in the way that we talk about diversity and inclusion internally, with more dialogue around issues occurring outside of the walls of Farmers and how they impact the employees, especially as it relates to mental health. Since the events of last summer, we've continued to communicate openly and transparently about with the Farmers employees population about our commitments. And we do this through hosting employee-wide virtual conversations about race. We are also spurring new ideas and strategies to enhance our diversity in sourcing talent in our organization and in the broader community. So in 2020, Farmer CEO Jeff Daly became a proud signatory of the CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion. That this is the largest CEO-driven business commitment to diversity and inclusion in the workplace. And as part of that commitment, our CEO pledged to cultivate a workplace where diverse perspectives and experiences are welcome and respected, and where employees can feel comfortable and empowered to discuss diversity and inclusion. And that really helped set the tone for the work that we've put in the past 14 months. And then Farmers was inspired by the CEO Action Pledge Day of Understanding initiative and hosted candid conversations within our organization to make a more powerful impact within the business and the communities that we serve. We didn't just do it just in one day, we did it over a course of a 2-month period. Farmers communicated resources, we had ERGs host specific events, we had certain topics that we had covered, and bias consciousness, microaggressions, and then covering was another topic that we had. And then we also allowed our employees to voluntarily participate in the activities to help better understand and celebrate each other's differences. And through those conversations, which continue on at this day, there's just been a broader recognition within Farmers that our D&I initiatives is a journey. It's not a destination. We won't stop with this initiative. It's something that we feel that we need to continue to keep up on. As the world continues to change, we have a responsibility to do our best to keep up with those changes. And so the work will continue to grow and evolve over time.
So focusing in on talent, what strategies can companies create to engage nonprofits and other organizations to help enhance recruitment and career development to create a diverse and inclusive workforce?
So we view taking action on diversity and inclusion as more than just the right thing to do at Farmers and the communities that we serve. It also is a business imperative that leverages the talent, the perspectives, the experiences of everyone within our organization to help make it stronger. Farmers has a proud history of supporting worthy causes of nonprofit organizations that share our values and vision for the future. And not only have these organizations helped Farmers give back and the communities we serve. Many have also been helpful in enhancing our talent diversity and inclusion best practices. So we built key relationships with nonprofits, universities, and other organizations like historically Black colleges and universities, Hispanic serving institutions, the Los Angeles Urban League, Women Back to Work. We're building our own Autism at Work program, and we connect with others along the way to be a part of our D&I journey. These organizations help complement the current practices and help us reach new audiences and employ new strategies to attract and retain diverse talent at Farmers.
Thanks so much, Kisa. Let's bring Vicki Wally of Prudential into the conversation at this time. Vicki, what initiatives has Prudential implemented around diversity and inclusion to remain competitive, but to also meet the needs of evolving workplace dynamics, expectations, and digital technologies?
Thank you for the question, Lori, and thank you for having me here. This is something that's so near and dear to my heart and something that we've spent a considerable amount of time over the last 12 to 18 months working on. You know, we have made a series of commitments to advance racial equity and inclusion, and they really are structured around three big themes, but there's nine commitments in total. So the first is really, how are we going to treat our people? We call them the people-related commitments as an employer. How do we think about ourselves as the business that's a big part of the ecosystem in financial services? And then how do we think of ourselves as a contributor to society? And given my role, I get to play a really big role in thinking about how are we going to think about our people? And so what we've done is we've actually taken what I would call a micro practice review of everything that touches our people, whether it be talent acquisition, whether it be learning and development, whether it be performance management, compensation, to say, where are the places, even though we've been very well intended to this point, where it's not having the intent or the impact that we needed to have across all levels of dimensions and diversity? And the reason we came to this was because post the days of George Floyd's murder, we went on a listening tour. It sounds a little bit like what Kisha did in at Farmers, but we went on a listening tour with our colleagues to say, tell us where things aren't working for you. And it wasn't just within the walls of Prudential, but outside, because we knew we had to play a role in kind of moving this forward. And what we heard was, we know that the system is designed to take bias out. We know we're recruiting at the HCBUs. We know we're building these partnerships, but it's in those small moments, in the micro practices, that that's where we need to really spend our time. And so we've done that, and we've been aided by technology. But two themes kept coming up for us. One was really around transparency, and the second was really around accessibility. And we're sitting on the precipice of this phenomenal digital transformation. We're transforming ourselves inside. Our worlds are being transformed. The pandemic has pushed us further into the world of digital. And digital really enables us to give more accessibility and more transparency to populations everywhere. And so our kind of DE&I strategy has really been linked to a digital solution that helps us get there. It's not just all about digital, but you know, we do benefit from being able to access, enable more people to go to unconscious bias training, inclusive leadership training, learning about microaggressions when things are digital.
So just digging deeper into digital, how can companies use digital tools and other technologies for talent acquisition, development, retention, and engagement to create a diverse and inclusive workforce?
That's a really good question. So I think it really depends first and foremost on where your workplace is. We're really fortunate that when we made the transition to working remotely in March of 2020, we were able to take our business largely online and into our homes. And obviously, digital plays a big role in that. But I think it's about breaking it down in lots of different ways. It's about creating accessibility. Perhaps you have a workforce that's not able to be in front of their computer. How do you leverage mobile and make sure that opportunities are available through whether it be an iPad or an iPhone or Android, whatever the device is, but how do you make them available physically in different mediums? I think the second is you can use technology for that accessibility and transparency piece. But then it becomes about what are you making that transparency and accessibility available on? And we really believe at Prudential that we're moving into a skills-based economy where it's about the skills that you bring to a role that are going to make you powerful and impactful and valuable to the company. And so we've kind of turned it around a little bit and said, it's less about the resume, it's less about the experiences you've had, and it's much more about the skills that you have. And we use technology to understand what the skills people have are, be able to help people translate those skills into what else they could be transferred into, but then also do upskilling and reskilling around those things. And because we're taking the what school you went to out of the equation, who you may know within the company or outside the company, we're really able to cast a broader net, so to speak. And our focus has been internal. We really want to make sure that our internal employees are getting the best opportunities available. But even externally, we've noticed a much broader slate of candidates coming in because we've taken some of those gating factors out of the equation.
You talked earlier about Prudential last year announcing 9 commitments to advance racial equity. Can you just talk a bit about those commitments and what role did employees play in helping to create them?
Yeah, so absolutely. The employees actually played a really large hand in doing it. I think Laura talked about having an inclusion council. We also have one. Ours are made up of leaders of the business, but also the heads of each BRG. And so they are a really critical point for us to test our ideas and understand, are we on the right track? Where do we need to go further? Where do we need to do less or more? And how do we think about that? And so the first thing we did is we held these listening sessions with our Black colleagues to understand how they were feeling, what would be meaningful action for them. And clearly it informed what our micro practices were going to look like in HR, but they also informed us in terms of what type of action did they want us to engage in as it related to the election, as it related to our partnerships, as it related to our customers. And those really transformed into the commitments that we were going to use and that are going to chart our path forward for the next 3 years. It's not that we're going to be done in 3 years, but hopefully we're somewhere different than where we started in 2020. We then kind of work as senior leaders to understand if this is what our employees want us to do, what are the tangible things we can do that will translate into action? And we took those plans to our inclusion council, which also includes our CEO, our vice chairman, our CHRO, a number of our very senior leaders, and said, these are the things we need to get commitment towards and agree on. And having both the inclusion council, which is made up of the BRGs, and some of the key leaders who are involved in helping to bring these to life, and our senior most leaders at the table, has really given us some firepower and action, ability to drive action through it.
Studies show that diverse workforces are much more creative and productive. So what can companies do to recruit and expand their diversity teams and also to promote more minority leaders?
Well, I think I'm going to take it a little bit differently. You know, if you think about it, we still tend to, as a society, have very traditional ideas of what leadership is. And we need to start breaking down that leaders can look and act very different than what our traditional leaders do. And the way that you do that is actually having role models that you can look up to and say, look, so-and-so is a leader and they're doing it really differently and they're great at it. And they've got all the engagement scores. They've got all the thought leadership, all the people leadership that we need to help drive the path forward. 3 years ago, Prudential actually set its first diversity commitment, which was around to diversify the ranks of our senior leadership. And we tied executive compensation to it because we really believe what you measure is what gets done and what gets done should be rewarded. And so we pushed into that foray and we met our goals. We met our goals because we were able to, you know, recognize that this was important and that was a broad-based accountability for all of our leaders. What's really interesting is we didn't only diversify the ranks of leaders at which we had kind of set a goal for ourselves around. We diversified the levels lower than that. And what was really interesting is there's this study over and over again that we hear in the HR and DE&I space around diverse leaders build diverse teams. And it's proven to be true. And so if you diversify leadership and you start there and they start diversifying their teams and that those teams then be diversified their teams, all of a sudden you've built this snowball momentum around diversity and having inclusive teams that you can build from. And it helps you in talent acquisition. It helps with coaching and engagement. It helps with talent development. And eventually you kind of see it through the succession pipeline.
Thanks so much, Vicky. Let's bring everyone back in at this time as you've had the opportunity to hear what each other has just said. Laura, you just heard Vicky talk about ways that companies can enhance recruitment and career development to create a diverse and inclusive workforce and leadership team. What's a good first step to making that happen?
Well, I applaud all the work that Farmers and Prudential are doing. It sounds like you guys are doing some great work, and I'm maybe going to tap into you guys to learn a little bit more about some of what you're doing. But I think that just some of the first, you know, I think that a lot of times when people talk about diversity and inclusion, it always kind of goes to recruiting first. And I think a lot of the discussion today talked about a lot of times our internal teams are already diverse teams. And I think it's important that whatever your goals are in driving diversity, whether that's at certain levels of leadership, whether there are certain business units, I think that it's just important that you have a structure in place that supports that. So I think that, you know, really focusing on those inclusion, the deep understanding of creating an inclusive work environment, of building promoters of an inclusive work environment, I think you need some of that structure and that foundation to really be able to support any of your efforts that you're doing to build or bring in more diverse teams. I think that also coming up with ways to support and unleash the potential of your internal teams and making sure that they have access to opportunities, that they have support for their career goals, and how do we get people into those pathways or just access to those opportunities. And I think that's another key component of making sure that you're also continuing to build those teams internally as well, because they're just as important as bringing in some of that external talent. And I think from the external talent standpoint, I think it also goes to, you know, there's some traditional ways of recruiting and picking different types of universities and tapping into different populations that may not naturally, be responding or seeing, you know, your efforts to attract talent to the industry. So I think it's really trying to be innovative as well as looking for, you know, we've dealt with issues in the insurance industry about how to attract talent to the industry. Just some of those legacy issues, the stereotypes of working in insurance. And I think that where we've also tried to focus is on getting to audiences that are early in their experience of trying to determine what careers that they may be interested in. So junior achievement programs, as I mentioned, INROADS. You know, there's a lot of organizations out there that aren't necessarily associated with a specific school or a specific university. It's really about, you know, trying to tap into talent early on so that as they are making those decisions about career pathways that they could take, that we're also reaching audiences that we may not necessarily reach on campus.
Great. Kisa, what do you think? Do you agree with what Laura has just said?
I do. I agree with what Laura has said and Vicky has said. So I don't want to repeat some of the good points that they have made, but I'll just add on to the recruiting piece of it. And one thing that Farmers is doing, and I believe we've done really well, is tap into our employees for within their network. And that's a big focus of ours right now, is really getting them engaged to share some of the recruiting needs and open positions that we have and share it within their networks. And we leverage our ERGs again to do that as well. To get a diverse audience, seeing the things that we're needing to, the jobs that we need to fulfill. So we know that it's a challenge, and I know that lately we've heard about the Great Resignation, and that's something that's, on our mind with wanting to make sure that we do our best with retaining the current talent that we have, as at the same time looking for opportunities in different ways of recruiting top talent into Farmers. And we also continue to build our relationships with our key stakeholders externally, who have been invaluable to help continue the progress in this area through those community partnerships and organizations that we work with.
So Vicky, has COVID-19 made diversity and inclusion issues in the workplace more apparent? And before the pandemic, did D&I workplace initiatives often not receive the prioritization that they deserved?
I think that the pandemic has definitely changed the story around DE&I initiatives. And it's because there are so many more dimensions of diversity and ways and things that we have to be inclusive of now than we did before. The office, in some ways, created an equal playing field. But now we're competing with people. We've got people on our teams who don't have childcare because the childcare systems have not been available. We have families who have family members who are on the front lines, and that creates different frictions for them in their houses. And all of a sudden, these things are not outside the walls of the workplace. It is actually at their work desk. It's in their physical workspace. And so I think everyone's become a little bit more attuned to different dimensions of diversity, different dimensions of difference. And we've all learned on how do we become more inclusive? How do we actually show up in a different way so that all of our members and colleagues can show up and give their best to this team that they so desperately want to give to? I think what has changed the conversation on DE&I was the murders of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. And I think that our efforts were always prioritized. I think there is just an understanding that we need to do something bigger and bolder.
So Keisa, what are your thoughts about how the pandemic has changed, and what can insurers do to change that and spark new conversations?
In many ways, COVID-19 pandemic helped to accelerate some of the trends that we were seeing before or that were already underway. As I've alluded to, farmers had a very strong focus on diversity and inclusion for years prior to the pandemic. And then the pandemic has challenged us all to work together in new ways. And many people have spent considerable time over the course of the pandemic to identify what's really important in their everyday lives and to their long-term career goals. So what we've seen over the past 18 months or so is that diversity and inclusion has certainly emerged as a reinvigorated priority to current and potential employees, to our leadership team, and to our organization's continued success in the long term.
So Laura, what challenges currently exist around diversity and inclusion in the workplace today, and what's needed to overcome those challenges or hurdles?
Well, I think just one of those challenges is just patience, as far as being able to take the time or wait the time to see some of those changes that we're all working towards show up in what they look like in the workplace. So for instance, you know, insurance has battled a legacy perception of being male dominated. And I think as we've been taking steps, whether through our women's leadership program, the mentoring program that I referred to earlier, just different programs to help support getting access and unleashing that potential for people to really pursue those opportunities. It didn't take, it wasn't an overnight occurrence to have the workforce that we have today. And I think to really see those changes, it's not going to be an overnight change. And I think that sometimes the challenge of, you know, knowing that we are working hard and there's a lot of momentum behind the efforts and the plans that we're putting in place and the actions that we're taking, which is really why we've kind of focused on it in that short term here and now and the long term. Because I do think that sometimes the appreciation for the time that it will take to change and see that sustainable change in the long term, sometimes that could be a little frustrating, the pace at which that goes. But I think that, again, that's where it's important to balance some of those longer term impacts with some of those, you know, quick actions that we could take today just to build that confidence and the transparency around this continues to be a high priority. We're focusing everything we have into this. Really making sustainable, impactful change. And, you know, ultimately that's going to take some time to get there. So I think that for us is sometimes just one of those, time is just a challenge, I guess.
Vicky and Keisa, what challenges are you seeing today?
Well, I think one of the challenges that we have, you know, Laura talks about the longevity of our workforce, and we're actually in an industry that values longevity, right? There's a value and a premium put on the longevity of our talent. One of the things that we have to balance with that longevity of the talent is obviously the demographics of it, but also their skill base. If you think of the half-life of skills now is 4 to 5 years, there becomes this kind of push to refresh the talent pool, but that talent pool doesn't exist in the market. So how do you work with the talent pool that you have? How do you simultaneously diversify that talent pool from a demographics perspective, but also from a skills perspective? And that's this kind of fine balance that we're all trying to walk right now.
And I'll add in here. So one of the challenges that I can see here that we've identified is finding the right balance between prioritizing diversity and inclusion initiatives with other many pressing business objectives and getting everyone on board to see it as the same level of priority. So that's something that we are focused on. And we know that there's just so much work to be done that it can be challenging to decide where to start and how to keep the momentum going. So we also recognize that progress won't happen overnight, to what Laura had said, and that we need to be realistic and meet people where they are to ensure everyone feels invested in steering the journey rather than just being a passenger along for the ride. So we've taken a lot of time to understand what are the areas that can meaningfully influence and create and created a five-year plan that we're going to build upon. So it is a progressive plan over time, but year one is really getting the foundation and the basics down and getting everyone on board for the journey that we have set out here. So we do hope to continue building on the progress that we've made so far and to make sure that it's meaningful and sustainable for now and into the future.
Great. Well, I'll throw this question out to everyone. Does insurance remain a less diverse industry than other financial services and other industries, or is that changing?
I think it's critical to focus on both diversity and inclusion in order to be successful in the one area. And the inclusion piece is we can get people in the door, but the inclusion part is to keep them here and to keep and retain the talent that we're seeing and developing. So I believe diversity makes us stronger, and definitely at Farmers, we also drive inclusion through the culture that empowers our employees to connect, contribute, engage, and fulfill their potential. But there's so much opportunity within our industry to source more diverse talent and perspectives to help prepare the workforce and consumer base of the future. So yes, I would say that, there is opportunity, but I also want to, at least at Farmers, want to make sure that we are doing the part of the inclusive, making sure that people feel included, that they belong, and that they can fully contribute so that we see the long-term success of our initiatives that we have here. We've been operating for 90 years, and we know that embracing D&I is a business, it's very critical for our business to continue to do business for the next 90 years. So just through the programs that I've talked about before, and described today, that it certainly has helped us make progress within Farmers. And from what my, the colleagues on the call today and the panel have shared, it seems like we're all in the same space. We're all doing similar work. And collectively, I can see this making a big impact on the insurance industry at large.
Great. Laura, any thoughts to share?
Yeah, I mean, I think that while we represent only three companies in the industry, I think just, hearing the work that's being done by our three companies, and I know that that's shared collectively across the industry. So to your question of, is it changing? Are we seeing progress? I absolutely think that we are. And I think that there's a big commitment in the industry to help foster that change and promote more diverse and inclusive workforces in the insurance industry. And again, I do think it will take some time to get there. And I do think that it's important to just, again, acknowledge that where in the past we've talked about as an industry, the challenges of the available talent, and some of that was just how to promote careers in insurance, some of the stereotypes, the stigmas. And I think we would all agree it's an amazing industry. And I think that as we continue to think about how to reach diverse audiences to bring them into the industry, I think that's just going to continue the momentum that we're all putting towards that. And I think also just being very innovative, as we talked about earlier, hiring for skills, hiring for different experiences, hiring for different backgrounds, and really kind of looking more, I guess, creatively around where those audiences are, so that we can help continue to build upon the talent that could be available for the industry.
Great. Vicki, any thoughts to share?
I think all of us would probably agree that it doesn't, it's great. Whatever's happening in the other financial services is good, and we want to see all of financial services diversify. But as a leader at Prudential, I want more than my fair share of diverse talent. I want to be a place where diverse talent wants to come work and wants to spend their career and build their careers there. So it's great that we're all focused on these things, but I want more than my share.
So looking ahead, how do each of you see the insurance workplace evolving in the coming years? And what will companies need to do to increase their focus on diversity and inclusion to embrace the rapidly changing workforce? Laura, let's begin with you.
I don't know if I exactly have a great answer for that one, because I think that's something we think about, we talk about, as we mentioned earlier, just the increase of digitalization, remote workforces. You know, I think there's a lot of factors that we're going to have to really consider as far as how, I mean, just even the pandemic, we've talked about it a little bit, about how much that's not only impacted positively or challenged diversity and inclusion efforts, but I think additionally, it's just changed the workplace. I mean, here we are, I think most of us are in this meeting or in this discussion remotely. And I know we haven't fully made our way back to the office yet. And it's even just considering what's the workplace going to look like in the next 12 to 24 months. And then it's what's the employee experience in that workplace and how do we respond to that? So I don't know that I have a great answer for that, but I have a lot of questions that are, you know, we're talking about that's, you know, very related to what you're bringing up.
Well, thank you, Laura. Kisa, what are your thoughts?
I think the demographic, technological, social, economic changes happening in society at large will influence the workforce in the future. As our current employees and external talent pool, customer base become more diverse, we of course need to keep evolving to meet the challenging needs and their expectations that they have for employers and businesses that they want to work with. And we know that those needs and expectations will change over time. So what's important to employees today will certainly change, and we have to keep up with the pulse. So at Farmers, we are focused on building the kind of agile and adaptable culture that can be nimble to adjust to the rapid changing demands of the marketplace. This is an obligation, you know, to challenge our own assumptions of what's possible. If there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, is that we are more adaptable than we think. In 2019, we never would have considered a largely virtual work environment was possible. And yet here we are today operating in an environment for more than 18 months. So very optimistic of what we will be able to impact in the future and how diversity and inclusion will influence that.
Thank you, Kisa. Vicki, how do you see the workplace evolving in the coming years?
Well, I think Laura and Kisa have really hit it, right? It's about the digital changes that are happening, the impact or the ongoing impacts of pandemic and working from home and remotely, the demographics of our workforce that are going to continue to change. But on the flip side, all of these are also going to drive changes on the demographics and the needs of our customers. And they are going to push us to do things and come up with products that we haven't even thought about. And I think that it's them who's going to really help fuel and success the impact of our diversity DE&I efforts in the workplace, because we're going to need those employees to help us understand the needs of a broader range of customers.
Thank you, Vicki. Well, this has been a great discussion, but unfortunately, we're just about out of time. We would like to thank our panelists today for a very informative and enlightening discussion. We will have a full slate of programs on the topic of diversity and inclusion in the insurance industry, as well as complete coverage in the November issue of Best Review. Thanks so much for watching. For AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.